Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, I pray that you would remind us who we are. God, you have created fearfully and wonderfully. And God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the opportunities that you give us. God, I pray we'd make the best use of all those things. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. How many of you have figured out that life is a little bit challenging? I mean, we face situations we have these decisions that we've got to make, obstacles to overcome. The fact is, there is pain to be endured. You know, sometimes we navigate it well, sometimes we don't. There are times we miscalculate the horizon, we underestimate things, and when the dust settles, well, it costs way more than we figured it was going to cost. You know, sometimes we face these situations and they make us freak out a little bit. And there are times that, to be honest, we kind of set ourselves up for failure. And we just make bad decision after bad decision in life. There are times we fret and worry. We allow stress to build up in our lives. There are times that we pretend. We pretend that everything's fine. And we hope it'll go away. Now, I can tell you that doesn't usually play well. We face these tough situations, and we have to face critics at times. Sometimes a critic's good, sometimes not so good. There are times we have discouragement in our lives, disappointment in our lives, and there are situations that come along and they just make us angry. They get in our head and they start messing with us. They leave us hurt and reeling at times. And then if you throw in a little bit of sin, well, it can get terribly complicated at that point. Those times when we decide that we know more than God, we know better than God, and so we just kind of jump and we step across that line, and it can get really difficult to navigate in life. And then the shame, the guilt, it piles up. And internally, sometimes we become a wreck. There are other times, I believe, that we've just been sinning so long, we get numb to it. We're not even sure what to do. Other times, we spend so much time trying to cover up, make sure that nobody finds out, that life just gets reduced. Life's challenging, is my point. We're starting a brand new year. And I've already heard people say, they're like, oh, this year's off worse than last year, or I hope this year's better than next year, and what have you. But the fact is, this year will be challenging for all of us. We will all face challenges. We will all have to figure out how to navigate. And the reality is, some of you will navigate better than others this year. Some will navigate well, some not so well. It's just the nature of things. I have watched people through most of my career, and there are people that, as they're navigating in life, to be honest, as I'm watching them, the whole time I'm going, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? That's how you're going to handle this? And then there are other times I watch and I marvel. I marvel at how they navigate, because they navigate with a steadiness, with an integrity, with a confidence. And it's just beautiful to behold. There's something I figured out in life, something I figured out. People that have successfully navigated in those situations, the fact is, they know who they are. They know who they are. And friends, I think that is a key thing. In fact, that's what I want to talk about over the next few weeks is, do you know who you are? Do you? Do you really know who you are? Because the fact is, when you know who you are, you know what to do in life. You know what to do. Here's the heart of the problem. I think too many people have forgotten who they are. Too many Christians have forgotten who they are. And so it's a little painful to watch Christians as they're navigating when they trip and they stumble and they make bad decisions and there's all this uncertainty and it's just really poor navigation in their life. The problem is they forgot who they are. They forgot who they belong to. They forgot that the Spirit of Jesus Christ that raised Jesus Christ out of the grave is the same Spirit that lives inside them. Friends, I think many have forgotten that you have full access to the throne of God. You've forgotten that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've forgotten who you are in Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that every Christian here will learn to live and face every situation throughout your life mindful of who you are in Jesus Christ. Friends, in my life, when the storms have hit, when things have been challenging and difficult, when I face those moments where it's a really tough decision, a tough choice has to be made, those times when I've been down on the mat and they're counting, when my equilibrium gets rocked, when I have circumstances shift in such a way that I feel a bit lost, struggle to get perspective, when that happens in my life, and friends, it happens more than you might suspect, I always turn to God. And it's a very simple prayer, and that is, God, remind me who I am, who you say I am. And that's what we're going to talk about the next few weeks. We're looking at who God says we are. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. You know, Paul is saying that if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, you're a new creation. Do you know that? The old, the filth, the junk, the sin, the guilt, the shame, all gone. You're a new creation. Your sins have been forgiven. You're a new creation, which means you have a new purpose in life. I believe many Christians have forgotten that they're new creations. It's kind of like a caterpillar. What's it become? A butterfly. But can you imagine a butterfly crawling around acting like a caterpillar? It doesn't make much sense. But that's what a lot of Christians do. They crawl through life. They crawl because they've forgotten who God has created them to be, and that is a new creation. They've forgotten who they are. You know, Paul goes on, he says, in the next verse, he says, and this is from God who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. If you're a Christian, God has given you a ministry of reconciliation. I mean, what's that mean? Well, in the Greek, literally, it means restore to the divine. For us to be restored to the divine, to help broken people, sinful people, people separated by sin from God, helping them be made right with God. Paul goes on in verse 19. He says, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us, again, the message of reconciliation. You know, if you're a Christian, God has given to you this ministry. He has committed it to you. He has entrusted you with the ministry of reconciliation. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I want you to let that verse sink in. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You know, internalize that a little bit. If you're a Christian, Christ has given you this ministry and he's made you an ambassador. An ambassador. In other words, you are to carry the message as though God was making an appeal through you. Do you know who you are? You're an ambassador. Do you know who you are? Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. You're an ambassador sent by God. It's why you're here. It's why what ministry God gave you when you became a Christian. Some of you know what an ambassador is. Hands? How many of you know? All right, some of you don't. You're a little foggy. You were sleeping in class that day at school. I did a lot of that, by the way. But how many of you have ever watched the show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? They cover all kinds of questions. They'd ask questions, and there's some of them I get right away. And there are some I'm just a bit unclear on. And I was watching with my grandson. This is probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, but we were watching the show, and Ethan's sitting next to me. He's in second grade at the time. And Jeff Foxworthy keeps asking the questions, and we're answering. And he's got answers, and I've got answers, and we're working on it. And I missed a couple in a row. And Ethan, he pats me on the hand. He goes, Grandpa, it's okay. He said, I don't think I'm smarter than a fifth grader either. I'm thinking, you're not even going to make it to fifth grade, son. Yeah, it was one of them great moments. Some of you are not sure what an ambassador is. It's okay. The simplest definition I can give you is it's the highest ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one country to another. You know, for example, if I was an ambassador for the U.S. to, let's say, China, China would not be my home. I would live there, but it's not my home. I would be the highest ranking diplomat sent to represent my country, the United States, in China. As a Christian, we are on this earth. This earth isn't our home. We are the highest ranking representative sent by God to this earth to represent God. That's why Scripture says that as Christians, we are aliens. This is not our home. We are strangers in a foreign land, Scripture says. This is not our home. We are sojourners. This is not our home. We are just passing through. We are sent here to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And friends, when you know who you are, it affects what you do. I am an ambassador sent by God. That is a loaded statement. If you're a Christian, you are an ambassador. Think about that. And I know as I say that, some of you are going, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't think I'm an ambassador. And I'm sure if you talk to my friends, they would tell you I am not an ambassador. I mean, my friends say my life's a mess. My friends say, you know, you don't know the Bible very well. You say things you shouldn't. You do things you shouldn't. I'm a Christian. But ambassador? I don't think so. Friends, if you're a Christian, you are an ambassador. It's who you are. It's who God created you to be. And when you know who you are, It affects what you do. Now, I want to unpack this for us a little bit with two very simple thoughts that I believe change the way you live. It will change your daily life if you can grasp this. As an ambassador, you're not elected by the people. We are chosen by God. We are appointed by God. It doesn't matter what other people think. We are put in that position by God. It's what Jesus Christ was referring to in John 15:16. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear what? Fruit. Fruit that will last. Eternal fruit." You know, Jesus kind of clarifies things if you skip on down a couple verses. He says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. See? Not part of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. In other words, he says, they're at odds with one another. The world and God's kingdom is at odds. Chosen, appointed, what? To bear fruit. Chosen and appointed as an ambassador. You do not belong to this world. You're an ambassador for God. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what people think. We are chosen and appointed by God. And friends, when you let that sink in, that you're an ambassador for God, when you fully understand who you are in Christ, you know what to do in life. People go, well, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I don't have it all together. You know, whatever. Pick your saying that keeps you from being who God's called you to be. How many of you can remember being in school as a kid? It's getting further and further away all the time. How many of you remember when the teacher needed somebody to run an errand? And so, I mean, everybody wanted to go on the errand. And so the teacher would pick someone. And they didn't always pick the person with straight A's or the person that was the best in the class. The teacher just would pick someone. How many of you remember that? All right, when I got picked, wow, it was great. I mean, it was great. First of all my loser buddies were stuck in class. That was really cool. And the teacher would go, Damon, why don't you take this folder down to the principal's office? I was on a mission. I had a pass. And when I hit the hall, oh, I was cocky. Woo! I'd go down the hall. I always took the long way to the office. I went upstairs to go downstairs, you know, that kind of stuff. I was looking in rooms. I was waving to my buddies, getting their attention, acting up, doing goofy stuff. Kind of like this. Sometimes I got too much attention. Teacher would come out of the room. Talkington, what are you doing? I reach in my pocket, pull out my pass. Walking down the hall, someone would meet me. They'd go, aren't you supposed to be in class? I got a pass, baby. Got a pass. I was chosen, appointed by the teacher to do something very, very special. See, I'm not the best. I wasn't the smartest. But I had a pass and I was on a mission. And here's the good news, friends. You may not be the best. Your life may not be great. You may not be the smartest. You may not know everything. But you're chosen by God. You're appointed by God. You're on a mission from God. And you got a hall pass. You are an ambassador. Chosen by the creator of this world, chosen by God. And friends, if you internalize that, it will move from intellectual knowledge to a real heart belief that affects how you live. It's what happened to the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul saw himself and he saw other believers as ambassadors. You know, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But if you knew Paul's past, it's kind of shocking. I mean, Paul formerly had been known as Saul. He was the least likely guy for someone to go, that's a man of God. He was the number one persecutor of Christians. He killed Christians, murdered them for their faith. And Saul was walking one day, and he encountered Jesus Christ. He encountered the glory of the resurrected Christ, and it blinded Paul. Physically, he was blind. And it's a long story, but Saul, he was told to go on into the city. It was the city of Damascus. He went, and he waited. God's spirit moved in another guy by the name of Ananias, and God told Ananias, he says, you go minister to Saul. I imagine that was quite a moment. Ananias probably like, you got to be kidding me. Do you know his story? He's a murderer. He kills Christians. He'll kill me if I go there. But scripture says this, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my what? Chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. He's my ambassador to the Gentiles. I have appointed him. He's my chosen instrument. Christians, you need to understand that God has chosen you to be his instrument in this day, in this time, that God has chosen you to be an ambassador to a certain group of people. You may be going, well, who? People you work with? Family? Friends? Classmates? Teammates? Neighbors? You are God's chosen instrument in their lives. There's something I had to come to terms with very early in my life, and that was I'm not the best. But he chose me. And friends, when you grasp that, it changes everything. I mean, it changes things in your life. You begin to look at things different. It has allowed me to remain strong when I want to run. It's allowed me to wade into waters that, I'll be honest, would have scared me to death. Allowed me to stand when critics are taking their shots. So I'm not the most talented. I'm chosen. And so are you. I want you to understand you are chosen by God. You are chosen by the creator of the universe. You are chosen by the King of Kings. You are chosen by the Lord of Lords. You are chosen by God. And friends, when that gets in your head, it changes how you live. Some of you have been chosen to lead the next generation. You know, God's called you. And so some are serving in the zone. I don't know enough. I'm too old for that. Not very cool. It doesn't matter. You're called by God. You are God's chosen instrument for that moment. Some of you, God calls and it's to lead a small group or lead a team. And I know how it goes. Oh, I'm not a teacher. I don't know the Bible very well. I'm not a leader. I get nervous in front of people. You are called by God to build up others. You are called by God. You are God's chosen instrument. Some of you may be called to witness to a friend, boss, coworker. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you, in your mind you're thinking, I'm not a very good example. I got problems. I'm not very good with words. I don't know all the biblical verses and stuff. Friends, you are God's chosen instrument. You are called by God. You represent God. When you know who you are, you know what to do. God's chosen instrument with a message of reconciliation, making people right with God, making an appeal as though you were speaking for God. It doesn't matter what other people think. You're chosen. Think about that. You're chosen and appointed by God. When you believe that, when you truly believe that, it changes how you live. It changes the way you do life. You're chosen by God. Here's the second thing I want you to internalize. As Christ's ambassador, you never represent yourself. You always represent God. If I am ambassador for the U.S. to China, I am to represent, not myself, I'm not to promote my agenda, I'm not to promote my values, I'm not to promote my own ideas. I represent the government that sent me. Christians, you represent the kingdom of God. You represent the King of Kings, and it's a nice way of saying it's not about you. It's not about you. Jesus, the ultimate ambassador, set the example. He says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will." And of all the people in the world, he could have. But Jesus says, to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus understood it was about God. And it was God's standards. And here's something that drives me crazy. And that is, everybody grab onto your seat. You're going to love this. When people create two standards, they have a pastor standard, and then what they call, and I'm using their words, but they go, regular Christian standards. Now, I understand the standard's high. I mean, how I conduct myself, what I say, what I do, how I spend my time and my money, the things that I watch, the places that I go, how I treat my wife, my kids, my grandkids. Standard's high, and it should be. Why? Because I'm a representative of God. But sometimes people will catch me and they'll go, "You know, Pastor, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that." Now, it's okay for us regular Christians to do that, but you're the pastor, not acceptable. As my granddaughter would say, inappropriate. My issue isn't the high standard. And I'm not suggesting that you lower the standard for me, okay? Here's what I'm suggesting. You join me at the higher standard because you're a representative of God. If you're a Christian, you are Christ's ambassador. Some of you have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten who you represent, and I want to suggest you need to raise the bar in your life. You know, I'll give you a quick example. Sometimes I'm surfing on the net, and anybody know Facebook? Some of the pics, some of the comments that get posted on Facebook, if I posted them, there would be a ruckus in the house. And here's what I want to say. You are a representative of God. You represent Jesus Christ every moment, every day, everything you say, everything you do. And so the question becomes, what kind of witness are you? Because you're God's ambassador. Remember who you are representing. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Join me at the higher standard, which is a standard just for Christians, period. You know, I represent Jesus Christ with everything I say and do, and so do you. And when you realize who you are, it changes what you do. It just does. When you understand that you're a representative of God, you know what to do in those moments. You may not do it, but you know what to do. When those opportunities appear, you know what to do because you know who you belong to. And you know what to do. You may be afraid. It may be hard to do, but you know what to do. You know what to do when you see a coworker that's hurting. You know what to do when you see a classmate that is struggling or being picked on. You know what to do when you're having a conversation with someone and that spiritual door gets opened up. You know what to do when the Holy Spirit is pressing you to do something that maybe scares you to death. You know what to do when you face that ethical decision in that moment, that God-ordained moment, by the way. You know what to do. Why? Because you know who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. And friends, when you start doing what God's called you to do, God will give you opportunity after opportunity over and over again to do what God created you to do. And I know as I say that, some of you are going, but I can't do that. I'm not gifted enough. I don't know enough to speak for God. Yes, you can. Sure, you need to study God's word. Sure, you need to grow in your faith. Sure, you need to sharpen your skills as a leader. But when God calls you, you can do whatever it is God calls you to do. You can speak with authority, authority that God's given to you, by the way. And it's interesting, the Apostle Paul, early in his ministry especially, you see it in his writings, he will make the comment, he'll go, I'm not the most eloquent of speakers. I am the least of all the apostles. I am the low guy on the list. And he says this kind of stuff over and over again. But then he writes, he says, I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It does not tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. And he's talking about the authority given to him by God. Christians, you've been given authority. It is not something to shy away from. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not you. It's not your power. It's not your talent. It's not your authority. It is authority given to you by God because you're a Christian. My grandkids, they come down about once a month, and they love to play downstairs, and they get playing down there. And believe it or not, every once in a while, they fight with one another. And so you'll hear this commotion downstairs, and then one of them will come up, and it'll be something like this. They'll come up and go, Grandpa, Naya, she's four, she keeps messing up our game. I go, well, tell her to stop. I told her to stop, but she keeps doing it. And so I'll go, Dason, go downstairs and tell her Grandpa said to stop. Now, Dason, he heads downstairs. New deal now, isn't it? He doesn't just deliver the message. He goes in the room. He's got authority. He's got an audience. He's on a mission with a message. He's an ambassador. He's been sent by the King of Kings of the household. It's my story, okay? You get the point, right? The authority changed everything, didn't it? Christians, you have been given authority by God. Here's what amazes me. First century Christians that were hearing this for the first time, they understood that the power that they were given was in Jesus Christ. It wasn't in themselves, but that they had the authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, you're sick? I don't have the power to heal you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And they were. They cast out demons. They even raised people from the dead a few times because they understood the authority that they had been given. And here's what's difficult for me to get my mind around. The New Testament says that we as believers, can do even greater things. Why? How? Friends, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are appointed. We are called. We are called to be representatives of heaven on this earth, in our workplace, at our schools, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. You are not elected. You were chosen. You were appointed by God to carry the message of reconciliation, the good news that God has washed away our sins, that God's made a better way. And it's as if God is making his appeal through you. You never represent yourself. You always represent God. Why? Because you're a new creation. Paul said it this way. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Think about through me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No longer me, God. And I know as I say that, for some of you, you're going, yeah, but I'm a stay-at-home mom. No, you're not. You are an ambassador. You are raising the next generation of world changers. You are called by God. It is a divine purpose. But I'm just a student. No, you're not. You are an ambassador. You're an ambassador in that math class or science class. You are an ambassador to your classmates. You're an ambassador to the teacher. I'm just an office worker. I'm just a data entry guy. You know, I'm just a construction person. No, you're not. You are an ambassador in the office. You're an ambassador at the job site. You're an ambassador to the team, to your coworkers, your boss, your employees. God has chosen you. God has appointed you. That is who you are. And friends, when you know who you are, you know what to do. When you know who you are, you always know what to do. Friends, I want you to make that your prayer through this series, that God helps you to understand who you are in Christ. Fearfully, wonderfully made for a purpose, for his purpose. After this service, there'll be people down front. If you have something you need prayer for, they'd be glad to pray with you. Got something going on in your life, and you just need God's movement, let them pray for you. Maybe you want to make today the day that you say, you know what, I'm going to figure out who I am. Let us pray for you in that, okay? Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we thank you for this day. God, you have chosen us. And that is amazing. Love so great that you came down to make it all right. God, I pray that we'd be your representatives. God, forgive us the times we have said things, done things, been about things that reflect badly on your kingdom. God, help us to be who you created us to be, who you've called us to be. God, may we always represent you with all we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.